The text for today's brief meditation is found in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 17, beginning at verse 7. Which of you, with a slave plowing or minding sheep, would say to him when he returned from the field, "Come and have your meal immediately"? Would he not be more likely to say, "Get my supper laid, make yourself tidy, and wait on me while I eat and drink"? You can eat and drink yourself afterwards. Now, must he be grateful to the servant for doing what he was told? So with you, when you have done all that you have been told to do, say, "We are merely servants. We have done no more than our duty." Dear friends in Christ, competition and success. In these two words, we find the thread that weaves together our American society. From little on, we are urged to compete and to be successful. In school, we compete for successful grades. Our economy is set up on the capitalistic system of competition and success. The weak who cannot compete go out of business, and the strong who are successful survive and flourish. A good example of this is in the auto industry, where over the years many companies have gone out of business, and today Chrysler struggles to survive. The national pastime for most Americans is sports. This is probably because in sports we find the purest form of competition and success. If you are successful in competing, you're a winner. And everybody loves a winner and hates a loser. Just ask Bud Wilkinson, the former coach of the Cardinals. Even the way we govern ourselves is based on competition and success. Those most able to govern are not always put into a position of leadership. It all depends on how successful they are at competing in politics, at winning an election. We here at Concordia Seminary, who are preparing ourselves for professional church work, cannot help but be affected by this idea of competition and success. Most of us have grown up in this American society that has become a part of us. And so naturally, the way we view the ministry has been affected by this view. And so as we look at our future, we might hope that our first call is one that is suitable to our life and to our needs. Or at the very least, it should be a stepping stone to a place where we can become successful, so that we can be looked upon as a successful pastor of a fast-growing church. Fast-growing because of our skills. But when we look at success, we can hope for other things. Maybe we can be elected to a district position, or become a senatorial executive, or maybe to earn an advanced degree. No matter what might happen, we want to be successful. We want our family, our friends, and our classmates to see that 10, 20, 30 years from now, we are a success, and we will do all that we can to compete for this success. If we are honest with ourselves, we all must admit that we have taken this kind of a view on our future, that we have looked upon this kind of success for ourselves. So what would our Lord Jesus think about this kind of success for his ministry? And he pretty much gives his view in our text for today. Here he called those who wish to work for him not business partners, are not associates in his work, are not partners in his mission, but instead he calls them slaves. Slaves who are totally dependent upon their master, who must follow their master with total and blind obedience. A slave who after a long day of working under the hot sun in the field, comes into the house, not to a thank you for a job well done, and not to any sort of praise, but instead to do more work, to prepare the meal for his master, and to serve it for him. I wonder if the other people in the community looked upon the life of this slave as being a success. But what else could he do? His master had bought him. He had to do what his master commanded. And so it is with us also. We are slaves of Christ. Paul said in 1 Corinthians that we have been purchased with a price. And that price is the blood of Jesus, which was shed for us that we might be saved. And so just as much as by our work we cannot save ourselves, so by our eloquence in speaking, by our skills in ministry, we cannot convert anyone else to faith. Instead, we are merely tools of God to proclaim the word, to administer the sacrament, so that the Holy Spirit might work through these means and convert others to Christ. You know, one of the major problems that is facing the church today is that many men are leaving the ministry in the middle of their lives, in the middle of their careers. And the reason for this is no sense of job satisfaction, no fulfillment in their work. They see that they're not going to reach the goals that they have set for themselves. They see themselves losing in the competition for success with their former classmates or with other pastors in their area. They realize that they are not going to be as famous as they thought they would be. But when we look upon ourselves as slaves of Christ, we cannot have this attitude or this view. When the apostles James and John came to Jesus with their concern over their place in the future kingdom someday, Jesus said to them, "Don't worry about it. Don't you know that the last will be first, and that the first will be last? And if you want to work for me, you will have to become slaves to all." And so all the disciples except John meant violent death, and John himself was exiled off to an island to await his death. Certainly, this is not the end for a successful person. But the disciples soon found out that being a slave for Christ does not guarantee success in the eyes of the world. And so we too should feel this way. We should not look for praise in the things that we have done or the things that we will do in our future ministry. We should not seek a claim for the great sacrifice that we think we are making. Instead, when praise does come our way, we should respond by saying, "We are merely unworthy servants. We have just done that which is our duty." So, if we want the thrill of competition and the satisfaction of success, maybe we should try to get into the business world. Or perhaps we could become a candidate for president with the many others in the 1980 election. Or we could go downtown and apply for that vacant head coaching job. But if we wish to be disciples and ministers of Christ, we must prepare ourselves to be slaves, to work for His glory and not ours, to pattern ourselves after Him, to come to this world not to be served, but to serve, and to give His life as a ransom for men.